Hey, if we haven't met yet, my name is Brandon. I'm one of the pastors here as well. And it is such a joy to have you in this space. And we have great examples then today of what we've been preaching about the last several weeks. We've been talking about what it is to be in Christ, to be rooted in Him and built up in Him and participating then in Him. We have these great examples today, praying over our Chinese school that we normally don't see in this service, do we? What a beautiful thing to do. Membership as well, baptism coming up are these great glimpses of what unification is as the body of Christ. In our series so far, you've heard from multiple people, including David Yip, who spoke in Ephesians 1 and talked about being in Christ, and Tim as well, even last week, talking about adoption, and there's no more shame as children of God. And even all the way back, he didn't even know it, that Arthur was preaching this as well when he preached Ephesians 4 on March 24th, and being the body of Christ, because that's where we're going to jump back into today and squeeze out a little more of what is going on in Ephesians 4. In this moment. But to get there, let's go back to the beginning of our series. We talked about Jesus praying in John chapter 17. And when Jesus prayed, he prayed for himself, he prayed for his disciples, and then he prayed for anyone who would believe in him, which is, that's me, right? That's me, that's here, it's 2024. That's us. And he prayed this, that we would be one as him and the Father are one. That we would be one, we'd be unified, we'd be together in some way, in some possibility, the same way him and the Father are one. Now, if that doesn't, you're like, blow your mind and call that a mystery, it is. But in some way, we do that. We participate in him and become one with him and are called to then be one with one another. Now, I'm not going to rehash Pastor Arthur's sermon from March 24th. You can go back and listen to that on our website, and that's great. But let me begin with this then, the demise of our unity and the church as authority. When you think of our church, of the church, we once had some form of unity in the early church. And man, when you read history or when you study history, and that was my major focus when I studied. I was studying the history of Christianity and the history of Christian thought throughout the centuries. And it's about unity crumbling, really. Let's think of the West, the church in the West even, where we once had unity, where authority lay in the Catholic Church and everyone knew where to go. You had one place to go to church. That's it. One. You knew where to go. You knew who was the head. You knew who was in charge. And in the West, you knew that to be Catholic was to be Christian. And to be Christian was to be Catholic. The two were synonymous. Well, enter Luther, who kind of ruined everything, right? At the beginning, the fracturing and the splintering of the church. Not that he intended to, but it's what happened. Ever since, it's been splintering and splintering and splintering. It's probably for good reason, right? The Lord most likely did this and not Luther, because the power of the church certainly corrupted. Power brought abuse and oppression and war in droves in the name of the church. Well, nonetheless, when I think about that, I think, well, maybe that wasn't unity after all. Maybe when the church was all institutionally one, it wasn't really unity. Carl Truman, in his book Strange New World, pens it, institutional unity. Then I asked, what is unity? What is unity? When I was a teenager and into my 20s, I really desired for non-denominational life. I grew up in a non-denominational church, but it was Pentecostal. But it was non-denominational in my teenage life. And I had a heart for unification of the body of Christ, that we wouldn't put up these walls and these barriers, that we wouldn't put up with that. There's like 7,000 churches on the street, right? That we wouldn't put up these barriers to these churches, and that we could be unified as one. And I was going to do everything in my power to do that. I was going to travel North America after college to just go encourage pastors and leaders. And I found Nadine, we got married, and I started ministry in Vancouver, Alberta. So that's what happened there. But that was my heart, was for that unification, the breakdown of denominational walls. And I've had to learn, well, what is true unity then in the midst of the splintering church? Well, Carl Truman, in his book, The Strange New World, he's talking about how the decentralizing of authority. And he goes on to talk about the sexualized nation and where we've come in that way. But to get there, he's talking about the demise of authority of the church. That the age of the church is over as authority. And it lends itself to the age of the adherent. Everyone take a finger and just point at yourself. You're the adherent. We're in the age of the adherent, where you have the power, where you sit on a Sunday morning and where you give of your pocketbook, of your money and your funds and your service and your time. That is the power now. That's what he's trying to lay out. Whereas before, it was whatever the church said went. Well, Truman continues his surgical analysis of the splintering church, and he canvasses three more reasons, which I wanted to give to us today because I think they're intriguing. One is cultural despisers, he calls them, who constantly have fought culture and art and literature, etc., causing hypocrisy, and these are his words, or idiocy, or both. And it seems for the sake of preservation, if we could just preserve and create our own little world, or maybe we'll call it a bubble, right? Then we'll be okay. We'll have unity. Number two is another reason is scandals. The church has sacrificed its moral authority in the world. We no longer have such a thing. The studies are out that people don't trust the institution of the church. And even now, the church is now even simply, in his quote, connected to imperialism, racism, and hatred of minorities. Makes you feel like, what are we even doing here this morning, right? If this is what we are associated with. My big question then, how can Jesus' prayer be realized in the midst of the splintering of the church? What is unity? Well, if you're a note taker, get ready, because I'm going to rattle off 10 scripture verses very, very quickly. Because I was like, where in scripture can we go? And these are just 10. These aren't everything. But I needed to know, give me a sense of what is unity in general. If it's not the institutional church, what is it? So here we go. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. There's no division of mind in thought. 2 Corinthians 13, 11. There's restoration, one mind in peace. That's what unity is. In Acts 4, 32, we're of one heart and mind sharing everything. In Galatians 3, 28, it eliminates previous divisions of worth to declare we are all one. Philippians 2, 2, we are like-minded. That mind word comes up a lot. Same love, spirit, and mind. Romans 14, 19, do whatever leads to peace and mutual edification. Matthew 18, 19, and 20, unity in prayer is effective and full of his presence. 1 John 4, 12, no one has seen God, but if we love one another, his love is made complete in us. Ephesians 4, 1 to 6, there's urgency to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And then it goes on to say there's one body and one Spirit. Ephesians 4, 11 to 13, we are equipped in unity to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Whew, there's a few. And that's just a few of them, right? Well, I want to come back to where Pastor Arthur was in Ephesians 4. To look a little deeper, to peel another layer in what's happening here. So let me read some of the first few verses in Ephesians chapter 4. Starting at verse 1, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, says, this is Paul writing, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is above all and through all and in all. We'll pause there for a minute. Make every effort. He's describing it with him in prison, and he's urging the people in Ephesus from prison to walk worthy of the calling they have received to be believers. What? In humility, gentleness, patience. This is what it is. Bearing with one another meaning taking on one another's burdens, making every effort. I want that phrase to stand out today, making every effort. What do we make every effort to do when it comes to the church? What do? I bet if we think of the church in 2024 in the evangelical world, I imagine doctrine is number one. That's what I imagine. There's probably other things as well. Probably seats in a chair would be another one that unifies people. I don't know, the list could go on, but here it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, to be one, to be unified. This is what it means to make every effort. And it's because of this. There is one body and one Spirit. There is only one. We often will think, well, what do we got to do? Well, the reality is this, is the Spirit makes us one. Church, we are one. We are one with whoever has declared Jesus as their Savior, whoever welcomes him in his life, and you can go ahead and try to be the judge of that, but if you declare today that you are a follower of Jesus, we are one. There is only one. One body, one Spirit. There's not multiple churches. There's local churches, local expressions. There's only one church. Through all time and space, there's only one. We are one. Because we have the same Spirit, one Holy Spirit that lives in us. This is why we make every effort to seek and live in the same Spirit together. To serve in the church and world by gifts only from the Spirit, as this passage goes on and canvasses them. Let me read 11 through 13 in this passage as well. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Here's some of the offices of the church. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ until... Until when? Well, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Measured by Christ's fullness. We make every effort because we are a part of the same body. We serve from the same Spirit. Whatever gifts. There was our TYF on Friday night too. We're canvassing spiritual gifts and examining, Lord, what have you gifted me? And I when I was talking with Caven a bit about this, what's really important to me when it comes to spiritual gifts is to know it's a spiritual gift. A gift from this. It's not you. So we all get kind of nervous about talking, what is my gift? When it's not even about my gift. It's about his gifts that he gives to us. It's him. It's all his power in the end. So we lean into these gifts for this very important reason of the fullness of Christ. Did you catch that in the verse when I read it? If not, let me read it again. Because to me, this is the most important part of this whole passage. This is what I long for as a believer in Christ. Is to get to a stature measured by Christ's fullness. To long to be a part of the fullness of Christ. When Jesus prayed that we get to participate in him, that we get to become one with him in some way, we get to participate in the divine nature of Christ. And to do that then, we need to find ourselves unified. Unified. Leaning into the same Spirit together. Listen to this. He gave us all these gifts, you know, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ until, I'll read it again, until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of God's Son, growing, this action word of growing, it's a process, right? Growing into maturity. What is maturity? It's growing into the fullness of Christ. This is unity. Friends, brothers, sisters, church today, I long for the fullness of Christ. I don't know what it fully means. I don't know what it fully means, but I know that the gospel is good and it's brought healing into my life. It's eradicated some bondage that has been in my life, whether it be sin, whether it be a weight in my shoulders, whether it be a sickness. He's come and he's lived within me and within us. Have you been set free from something before? Maybe when you first came to the faith, God gave you a freedom that you'd never experienced before. We're going to hear some testimonies today. Maybe it'll remind you of your own. The goodness of God is here in this place, and he's willing to come and say, come be a part of my fullness. And come together. There's only one body and one spirit. Let's lean in together to the Spirit to be one as he is one, to find his fullness today. Well, as we look at the practicalities of unification today as the body of Christ, man, what a great example today, wasn't it? Of people standing up here, not just to receive a certificate, but as you become a member, you're saying, yeah, I'm gonna be a part of this community. I'm going to use a weird word that we don't use. Well, I'm going to submit in this community, right? There are some things that I give up when I say yes to this church. I say no to other things. That's the reality of membership. It's a simple sign of what unity could be like for us personally. Baptism, to me today, is ultimate when it comes to unity. You're going to see four people today who are going to dip into these waters of baptism and say, not I, but Christ through me. Right? That's what it is to say, I am now in Christ. And I'm declaring that. Now, maybe they have been for a while in their salvation, right? But today they're declaring it before each one of you today in these seats. I belong to Jesus. I am unified with the body and belong here now in the church. That's huge. We're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, all because of Jesus' work on the cross, where he died and he was resurrected, and now we symbolically die and resurrect with him here today again. Into unity in these three ways. Let me canvas three ways and then I'm done. Into belonging. Into belonging. When you jump in these baptism waters, or walk for some of you, it is a place of belonging in Christ. Because then, when you declare you are in Christ, the scriptures say there's nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. No powers, no angels, no demons, nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. You belong. That's powerful. You have the fullness of Christ that we just canvassed in Ephesians 4. As you participate in unity and say, I belong, then I enter into more the fullness of Christ. And thirdly, it's power for life and mission. As we're unified in the same spirit that each one of us in this room has access to, it is power for life to give us wisdom as we work, live, and play, and for mission as we declare Jesus from our very being, as we tell others then about him as well. Well, today, Anna, Jetwen, Meryl, Iris, you will all enter into this unity, participating in Christ. So let me pray for us as the children come. There's a couple rows there that were reserved for kids, but if you need to, there's a whole row up here. Like if you guys want to come up here for Anna's baptism, you can come up front. Yes, come. Come, Bochinkas. Yes. Come to the front and sit in this nice, beautiful row. Get a beautiful picture of Anna today. Wonderful. Let me pray for us then as we jump into this. So Lord Jesus, we desire your fullness. And we know from Ephesians 4, to get there, we need unification in the body to make every effort, it seems, to be one as you've called us one. We take great comfort today knowing you have prayed for us that we would be one as you and the Father are one. And though that's a mystery, today we witness these baptisms as a sign of your unity here in this place. Lead us then to more fullness today. In you we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.